Feeling good because Max Scherzer is on the mound tonight. He grinded out 4 1/3 innings in the wild card game, which was dramatic. And, you know, John, you weren't here, but I told these guys that at the moment Chris Taylor stepped to the plate in that game, I said, not him. He's won for his last 100. And he ended up yanking that ball to left field. Chris Taylor seems to have returned to being Chris Taylor. And Cody Bellinger has had a really good postseason so far.
Yeah, I was surprised that after Chris Taylor had that huge home run in the wild card game.
Yep.
He didn't even get an at bat in game one against the Giants. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. It is weird.
Why wouldn't you at least play the hot hand and see if you could do it again?
Yeah, he was facing right-handers. That's the only thing I can think of. He was facing right-handers out of the bullpen. But honestly, I don't think that matters anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Didn't he hit the home run off a right-hander?
He hit the home run off was that a right-hander or left? After right-hander, you're right.
Yeah. So, anyway. let me pay off this tease. Okay. So I got this off of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio's website.
Okay.
He said, okay, so the Rams and the Chargers are both 4-1. Theoretically, they could both be playing at home in the NFC and AFC championship games. Now, traditionally, one of those games is in the morning, then you take an hour break, and then the other one is in the afternoon, early evening. Normally, one starts about 9:30 our time.
Right.
And the other one starts about 2:30 our time. So you can watch both games, and they do monster ratings. Now, in this case, it's not really feasible. Let's say you had the Ram game in the morning, and which would be brutal because you'd be starting a game at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast.
Sure.
And then you would have to clear out the stadium because they have different season ticket holders, clean it because we're in COVID, and play the other game maybe at night. So
really?
Pro Football Talk wrote this. 13 years ago, the league had a plan as both the Jets and the Giants closed in on the number one seeds in their respective conferences. You know, the Jets and the Giants both play in the same stadium like the Rams mm-hmm. and the Chargers.
Yeah.
The plan the NFL came up with was one game would have been played on Sunday night and the other game would have been played on Monday night. The issue became moot when the Jets collapsed down the stretch. Now, 3 years ago, L.A. was closing in on the possibility of having both conference championships, but at that point, the Chargers and Rams played in different stadiums. They were considering moving the Charger game to the Coliseum. That's the year the Chargers went 12-4.
Right.
But Chargers didn't make it. So had they moved that game to the Coliseum where the Rams were playing, they would have done Sunday, Monday. So that's what Florio thinks would happen. A Sunday-Monday conference championship arrangement.
Interesting.
So one of them would play Sunday night. The other one would play Monday night. They don't think it would be that big of a deal in terms of the Super Bowl because, remember, you have 2 weeks off now. Like, this one team wouldn't be playing the Super Bowl on short rest because you would still have 13 days off before the Super Bowl. By the way, Florio thinks a Sunday-Monday conference championship arrangement would generate the biggest ratings that they've ever had, even more than playing both games on Sunday, because you'd be in prime time on both nights.
Yeah.
And he suggests that it could spark the NFL to make a permanent change to a Sunday-Monday format. But that's what he thinks would happen if both the Chargers and the Rams finished as the number one seeds in their conferences. And, you know, you had to play both the games there.
Right.
Now, what'll be
We're
interesting...
We're getting way ahead of ourselves, by
of course.
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, what you better hope if you're an AFC fan, if you're a Charger fan, is you better hope somebody beats Buffalo again. Buffalo only has one loss. And Mace, think about this. The reason
they look like monsters last night.
Right.
Too.
And the reason Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and those teams, well, not the reason, but one of the reasons why they went to four straight Super Bowls is everybody had to go through Buffalo in January. They had a tremendous home field advantage. And if I remember the Raiders went back there 1 year to play in the AFC Championship game, and they lost 51-3. Because they're, nobody's used to playing in, like, frigid snow as much as the Bills are.
Yep.
So, it, you know, the Chargers, it would behoove the Chargers if they could, because it looks like the Chiefs might not win that division. The Chiefs already have three losses.
Yep.
It would behoove the Chargers to get home field, and if they did, they, you know, they would avoid having to go to Buffalo on that weekend, and, you know, on championship weekend, and it would be freezing. By the way, why is it so hard to find a good kicker in the NFL? Did you see there were 12 missed extra points?
Well, Mason
yesterday?
Crosby had most of them.
He missed three field goals by himself. He hadn't missed three field goals in 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough, man. It is tough. I'll tell you what pisses me off more than anything. And Matt Gay did it twice in that game on Thursday night. Kickers who kick the opening kickoff out of bounds.
Yeah, because then the other team gets it on like the 40, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's such a harsh penalty. And I can't understand. Keep the ball in the middle of the field, even if it's short.
And most kickers now, most NFL kickers can kick it out of the back of the end zone anyway.
Yeah, Gay can do it sometimes, and other times he can't. He occasionally kicks it out of bounds. That's three times this year, and I think it's a really, really harsh penalty because you give the other guy field position right away.
By the way, is Seattle dead now?
Yeah, I think so, especially without Russell Wilson for some stretch of time. What is it, 4 weeks or something?
Right.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. I think the Giants, I don't know the status of Saquon Barkley, and I don't know the status of Daniel Jones, but the Rams' next opponent is the Giants.
Yeah, I think the Rams win that game. The interesting thing is how good are the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals? And I guess Kyler Murray is hurt, but nobody knows the extent of his injuries. We'll probably find out today. But they look now like the team to beat. Most people picked them to finish last in the NFC West. They might finish first.
Yeah, yeah. No, they look really good. They look really good. All right, so Max Scherzer was human in the wild card game.
Yep.
He was human. He had an incredible run during the during the regular season where I think he went 10 starts and just destroyed teams. Then all of a sudden, his last two starts, he gave up a total of 11 earned runs in 10 innings. And he scuffled
now, I will
through
say
that
this.
Wild card game.
I would not have taken him out of the wild card game.
I would have.
Turns out, Dave Roberts did exactly the right thing.
We have a new rule. If you have to second, you're not allowed to second guess. You have to put in our group text what you think, if you think it was the right move or the wrong move. And Bergman.
Oh, well, I'm now admitting that I would have done the wrong thing.
Yeah, I thought it was on the money, and I texted that to everybody. I said, Roberts is doing the right thing, and I love Joe Kelly in that spot. And Scherzer just didn't have his A stuff. And he hasn't had his A stuff. You know, I wouldn't be afraid.
Well, you know me. If he gives up two runs in the first inning, I'll pull him.
Yeah, I suspect, by the way, that we are going to see a shorter outing for Max Scherzer. I don't think we're going to see a seven-inning outing. I don't think we're going to see an eight-inning outing. I think we are going to get five innings for Max Scherzer tonight, and we'll turn it over to the bullpen. I also think Kenley Jansen will come up with a save tonight.
Interesting thought on Jansen. One of my friends is a trainer.
Yep.
Like, he trains people for a living, and he's a track coach. He says, do you notice that Kenley Jansen is opening his hips more? He's, like, swiveling his hips more.
Yeah, he's kind of screwing himself into the ground.
Yeah, he's changed his mechanics. I think he's doing more now. He's whipping his entire body through there on this cutter. Somebody, either a pitching coach saw something or he realized something or whatever, but I have a little more confidence in Kenley. You know me, I have zero confidence in him during the season, but he's doing something right. Now I don't get that wave of dread when he comes into the games.
I think, Greg, you've acknowledged that you don't get that wave of dread anymore.
I don't. He's actually the most trustworthy reliever we have now, out of everyone.
Yeah, he really is. That bullpen is sort of automatic now. I mean, you
Not jinx anything.
You go with Kelly, then you go with Knebel, then you go with Blake Treinen, then you go with Kenley Jansen. And Kenley hasn't thrown in a couple of days. And Blake Treinen didn't throw in game two. So you've got really fresh arms for that game tonight. I've got a good feeling, but I think it's going to be a short outing for Max Scherzer.
Why do you think that? He said he's on a little bit of rest. He said that he found some mechanical issues in his
lower
half.
I think
half.
You just hit on it. He only pitched 5 innings the last time, so I think he's going to have a full tank
of
gas.
I just don't think he's on it right now. I just don't think he's on it. Just from watching him, I don't think he's on it. And, you know, he's trying to recapture that. There's a lot of, you know, he's been working at it. He's made some subtle adjustments to his delivery. We'll find out tonight, but I'm not counting on Scherzer for a long performance tonight. And I also think the way the Dodgers bullpen is set up, it really is, thankfully, kind of a push-button bullpen, which is what you want. There are guys, and you know, we'll never see Phil Bickford in a game where the Dodgers have the lead. I don't think we'll ever see Alex Vesia in a game where the Dodgers have
the lead. Wait a minute. Phil Bickford closed out the winning game,
too. No, but that was the 9-2 game. That was a meaningless game. In other words,
literally, by definition, is Phil Bickford in a game with the lead.
But we won't see them in high-leverage situations. We're not going to see Phil Bickford in the 7th with a 3-1 lead. We're not going to see Vesia in the 8th with a runner on in a tight ball game. Those guys cleaned up a blowout win.
So let me ask you guys something. The runner on second base to start extra innings is not happening for the playoffs.
Correct.
They're playing. Is the three-batter rule still happening?
Yeah, three-batter rule is still in effect.
So if you bring in a guy like Bickford or Trinan, you have to leave him in for three batters unless it's the end of an inning, right?
Yes, you do. You do. He's got to be there. So, and I like that. I think I'm okay with that. It actually minimizes some of the strategy of bringing in a righty or bringing in a lefty to face individual hitters. But I think it's still good for the game. I think it still moves along, despite the, 13-inning game between Tampa and the Red Sox, which ended in the weirdest friggin' way, a ground rule double that bounced off of, I think it was Renfro, and they ruled that a ground rule double.
I saw you guys texting about that. What else would you rule that?
Well,
of course it's a ground rule double. What else would it be?
Well, it's because the ball hit him was the question.
Correct. It hit the wall, then it hit him, and then went over the wall.
Then it bounced out.
So it's just like a ball bouncing into the ivy. You guys said, I can't believe they called that. What else would you have had them call?
It depends on where the guys were. They were rounding third, right? So it was...
Right.
It was,
that happens all the time on ground
rule.
Well,
here's the rule, though.
Different, though.
If he had done it deliberately, which he didn't, it was clearly accidental. If he had done it deliberately, it wouldn't have been a ground rule double. In other words, if he sort of...
But that's a judgment call on
the
part of the umpire, right?
It should be a judgment call on part of the umpire. So if he was coming around and he knocked it out on his own volition, then he should have been able to go home. It messed up with the Rays. The Rays got screwed over.
Oh, the Rays, I mean, that was just a weird friggin' call. I mean, I guess the call was right in the end. I saw Harold Reynolds describe it on MLB Network afterwards. So I believe it was the right call. It's just a terrible way to lose because their base runner was rounding third and was going to come home when that ball bounced off of Renfro. So it was a tough way to lose, and then the Red Sox won it in the bottom of the 13th. And I thought Matt Vasgersian was great. Sometimes the timing is fantastic. So Matt Vasgersian, who was calling the game, and the hitter was Christian Vasquez, a catcher. And Matt Vasgersian said, eight catchers have had walk-off home runs in Major League Baseball playoff history. Hits the home run, and he says, now there are 9. It was such a great call.
Did you see Matt announced he's leaving Sunday Night Baseball?
Who is?
Vasgersian.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's just going to do the Angels next year.
Oh, I love Matt Vasgersian. The Angels are lucky to have him.
All right, so lineup is out. Dodger lineup's out.
Yep.
Where do you think Pujols is hitting? What spot in the order?
I'd say he's hitting low in the order. I wouldn't put him in a high leverage spot.
You want to guess?
I'd say they make him 6th.
7th.
7th.
Here it is. Mookie, Trey Turner, Seager, Justin Turner, Chris Taylor 5th.
Ooh, batting 5th.
A.J. Pollock, 6. Pujols, 7. Will Smith, 8. Scherzer, 9.
Whoa.
So
it's a weird lineup.
One lefty.
I wonder if that lineup in that order has played a game all year.
No way. No, because
Trey Turner batting 2nd is weird.
Yeah, and Seager not batting 2nd is weird. And then Will Smith in the 8th spot?
Yeah, Will Smith batting eighth. I'll tell you what, that's an incredibly tough lineup. Mookie, Trey Turner, Seager, who has looked great. Justin Turner, who hit the big home run in the wild card game. Taylor, who won the game, the wild card game, with the two-run bomb. A.J. Pollock, who all of a sudden started looking better. Greg, you and I were talking about how he looked like he was scuffling along.
He was.
He looks better. Pujols, who you never know. I mean, I was so wrong. Actually,
it's against the lefty.
Yeah, 877-710-ESPN. What do you think of the Dodgers lineup? What do you think of the Gruden? Anything you got, 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet the show at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. And I just tweeted something. John, I've got a question for you coming up about a movie. And I want to know if you saw it and what you thought of it. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Oh. All right, now, Ireland, you've been at Staples Center. Is there a Sedano and Cap video 100%, board?
100%.
Oh,
and
God.
I have a thought. I want you to tell me if you agree. If you don't, I'll find Bergman. I want you to weigh in. All right. Mace, not my favorite picture of you. The one they're using that they put on the video board.
Really?
You have you have your big Coke bottle glasses on. You have
which I wear a lot now.
Okay. You have some type of a ski parka vest.
It's no vests are in this year.
You have, but it's like a flannel vest.
Yeah, flannel vest.
Bergman, are you looking at this picture?
I am. I
think we can do better, don't you?
I think I look very stylish. I'll be honest with you.
Look,
I think I look very stylish.
Like Marty McFly?
Mason, you are not some like old hip dad that's like, hey, kids, I'm going to come hang out.
That picture makes him look like that, doesn't it?
Yes, that's exactly who it is. It seems like you're trying to be hipster.
I want you to choose. Now, this is Carlo and Tommy and those guys are very good. Choose a different photo, and let's try that at the game tomorrow night.
Wait a minute. I think that's a great photo.
Let's all vote. I vote Nick's the ski parka Coke bottle glasses photo. Jorge, what do you think?
Jorge?
Did he leave us?
Yeah, Jorge's on vacation.
He stopped listening.
Bergman,
what
do you
vote? You vote against it.
Yes, I vote against it.
Mason votes for it, so Jorge is kind of the swing vote.
But well, don't I ultimately have say?
Again, wait a minute. Wait, Jorge, what's that?
Against it. Sorry, you look like Marty McFly up there. Come on, man.
And Mace, I've seen other promotional photos of you that are better.
I like the vest photo.
Yeah, not a fan.
Vests are completely in style right now.
All right, I'm going to retweet this tweet.
Okay.
And we'll find out if people... Now, but I'd like to give them some... I'd like to give them a different picture to choose, you know, because I don't want to set it up so they just hammer you for 2 hours.
No, let them hammer me for 2 hours. I don't mind. I think most people are going to love the picture.
Yeah, we should just let them hammer you. That's great. But at the same time, like, you need to just be who you are, Mason.
That is who I am.
No.
That is not you.
I'm the guy who wears
a vest.
No. That's not you. You are the guy that wears
that
a ball cap.
I wear that all the time.
You wear
I've
a Rams shirt.
Never seen that.
Dodgers shirt. That's who you are. That's who you need to be. Just be you.
Yeah, like, what about a Lakers hoodie?
Yeah, great. Perfect.
You really think that's appropriate for the video board, my Lakers
appropriate.
Hoodie?
Well, wait a minute.
What
it's
do we
at
do
a
every
Laker
day, Mason?
Game, and you wear it a lot.
I know, but you're wearing a suit.
Yeah, but that's what I wear to Laker games.
You're fancy. You're being fancy.
But I wear. That's exactly how I'm dressed at Laker games. If you came to a Laker game, you wouldn't wear what you're wearing there.
He also works for the
Lakers.
I've
worn that. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story about that. So there I am wearing exactly what I'm wearing right there. And I happened to see Jay Moore, our friend Jay Moore, and we had a conversation, and then Jeannie Buss walked up to me and said, "You look great the whole thing." That's a direct quote from Jeannie Buss.
You
look great the whole
back?
thing. I have no idea why Jeannie won't text me back, and I have no idea why Josh Ruprecht will not give us somebody from the Chargers.
Well, because you've crapped on the Chargers for 5 years.
Yeah, but I've changed my tune, so now Brandon Staley's coming on.
Well, he's great. And by the way, God, I love the fact that he goes 4th and 4th down all the time. Love it.
Okay, so here was my question. Have you seen The Many Saints of Newark, and what did you think?
Okay, I have it downloaded under my iPad, so I will watch it. I had a choice the other night flying home. I had either Ted Lasso finale.
Yep.
Latest episode of The Morning Show.
Right.
Or Many Saints of Newark, and I went with the other two.
Yeah.
I watched the Ted Lasso finale. And by the way, can we talk about it yet, or should we give people more time to watch?
Are we allowed to talk about the Ted Lasso finale?
It just came out Friday. Maybe we'll wait a couple more days.
By the way, I just put out a podcast with Cola Bikini, who plays Isaac McAdoo, the captain of the team, who's got a great moment in the finale and is a great, great dude.
Yeah, there's a twist in the finale I want to talk about, but I'll give people a couple more days to watch.
So you haven't seen Many Saints of Newark. I tweeted that out. Have you seen it? And it's unbelievable the negative reaction.
Yeah, Bergman was excited to watch it, and I told him it was one of those days you're out sick last week, and I told Bergman that he should temper his enthusiasm because the reviews were bad. Greg, now did you actually watch it?
No. I don't know if I'm going to. I think I might hold off.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think it's the first of multiple movies. I think that's why people don't like it.
Well,
it really is.
The Many Saints of Newark is not necessarily a Sopranos story as much as it's a Moltisanti story, right?
Well, it's a Moltisanti story, but you see young Uncle June. You see young Tony. You see the characters younger. You see young Cyril.
Yeah, it's hard to nail a prequel. Like, Better Call Saul completely nailed it, but that's hard to do. It's hard to nail a prequel. If anybody could do it, David Chase could probably do it.
By the way, the reviews are 72% positive.
What did you think of it?
I really liked it. I didn't love it. I really liked it. The cool thing about it was David Chase did a great job of capturing like the production design, the cars, the way what's the name? Satriel's, the place where they get to meet pork. That place was really cool. There was no Bada Bing. Bada Bing.
Bada Bing came later.
But I thought production design was really cool. It captured that time. What's
weird
about it?
One thing I can't get over is how much James Gandolfini's son looks like him. Like, it's like every time I see a preview or a trailer for that movie, I think I'm watching Gandolfini. I think that's exactly what Gandolfini would look like if he was that age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The problem with it, ultimately, is that it's not so much about young Tony. It's a lot more about Moltisanti than it is about Tony. And we don't really get a flavor of how he became Tony Soprano. That's why I think there's going to be another movie that's more about young Tony and how he got to be young Tony. It really doesn't tell you how Tony Soprano became Tony Soprano. But you meet Tony's mom, who is a nut job. She's played by Vera Farmiga. And, you know, his mom on the show was a total nut job.
Nancy Marchand. That was like her last big role before she died.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually, I thought it was good. It's worth watching. I don't think it's great.
Okay.
I don't think it's great. Have you seen the James Bond?
Not yet. But I can't watch that on HBO Max. I got to go to a theater.
You have to go to a theater to see James Bond. Yeah, it did.
I'll probably do that on the road when we start traveling again.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of reaction to the photo of me, and very, very – people generally think very stylish.
I don't see anybody who thinks that's stylish.
Yeah. This person, Burton Aver, says he uses the word stylish.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Steve, a wise person once said, never stylish, always in. Yeah, I'm in.
What is a PNW man? Crystal writes, it doesn't look bad, but this is the look of a PNW man. Summer casual should be the mood.
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. You look like you're from Portland.
But I think it's good for winter in L.A.
There is no winter in L.A.
Yeah, it's kind of it gets cold. gets cold.
What are you talking about? Gets golf in shorts yesterday.
Gets to be vest weather.
Mason wore a sweater to the baseball game.
A jacket.
Oh, God.
I wore a jacket. I'm wearing a jacket sweater again tonight. Because I'm press, I can't wear any Dodgers gear.
That's you guys you're can in wear the auxiliary your press box.
Right.
You can wear blue. You can wear blue. It doesn't have to be Dodgers, but you can wear blue.
Hey, Jorge, are you wearing your Urias jersey?
No, I'm not wearing a jersey today.
You're not wearing a jersey?
Because
playoff game.
No, yeah, but plans just happened, and I wasn't ready for
today.
Well,
this is a weird day. We didn't think we'd even be on the air today.
Right, right.
Matter of fact, Bergman, you didn't even mention this as a possibility. You just said everybody has the day off. So we all made plans for the day off, and then we get this, like, emergency text.
Well,
from
I mean,
Bergman, the game's been rained out. The show's back on.
Well, Bergman can't be responsible for rain in Chicago.
Right, but he could be responsible for saying, guys, there's a possibility this might get reversed.
I didn't even know it was happening. I didn't even know it was going to happen.
Exactly. You didn't consider the possibility.
Well, no, because you know what was happening? It was actually sunny and bright in Houston, so it didn't, or in Chicago, and they were just waiting for it. Yeah, it's not in Houston. It's in Chicago. But either way, it was sunny and bright, and they were just expecting rain later. I didn't even know that was a thing. It was sunny.
By the way, this is
by the way, people need to relax, okay? I don't make these decisions, okay?
About what? It's
just about whether we have a show or not.
I thought you were in charge now. You're
exactly the person that makes those decisions. And the reason I know that is because you write these emails.
You guys are still on the air.
In all caps that say, this schedule is locked in stone. Check tomorrow and see if it changes. You sent the locked in stone email this morning.
Well, because it was locked in stone until
apparently your stone
3 hours
is
ahead of time.
Until 10 o'clock this morning.
3 hours ahead of time it went.
By the way, I think it's a total lucky break that it rained in Chicago. Now we get full shows all week long, which is what we want to be while we're doing while we're in
that.
The playoffs.
But I wonder too, by the way, how does TV handle that? Like TV puts, they just put
oh, they,
a
I'm
movie
sure they just
on
put
something?
Young Sheldon on or Modern Family or one of those shows that's on constantly. Young Sheldon. Isn't it always Young Sheldon? Young Sheldon is always on TBS.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I got the results of a poll about John Gruden
coming
up next. Plus, your phone calls 877-710-ESPN. I'm reading the reactions to my photo on the video board.
People love it.
Yeah, people love that picture. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know the difference between an obtuse angle and an acute angle. Do you?
Obtuse. It means I'm looking away from you because I was mad at you that day. I wasn't looking
right,
at you.
Someone in support of you.
Okay.
Mace, the look looks good. Ireland looks like he just sold you a car.
There you go. You're like an insurance salesman up there.
Here's somebody. Sedano and Mace each need new photos. Ireland and Kaplan are holding down the right side nicely. So now, did you put up a poll?
Put up a poll on this.
Oh,
I got something to say about this.
Here. Oh, Amanda, what now? Amanda.
Boss Amanda.
Amanda's always honest. Amanda, I think I mentioned this to you at the game yesterday.
Yeah, actually, we were at the game. I was sitting next to Ireland, and John was the one that kind of elbowed you and was like, hey, look. And the first thing Ireland says is, I don't like what Mason's wearing.
God.
Like,
I so love that.
It wasn't like, oh, hey, look, we're on the Jumbotron. It's like, oh, I don't like what Mason's wearing.
Yeah, I think you could upgrade.
But Amanda, what do you think?
I think that I want to know where your Subaru Outback is and your hiking sticks and your hiking boots.
Hey, Mike.
I think it's very stylish. I think it's very in.
Do you have trail mix in one of the pockets?
Yeah, I was
going to
say you're missing the trail mix too. I mean, do you pull up the Subaru and open up the hatch and then sit in the back and put your hiking boots on?
You do look like a guy who partakes in Puriesca.
Oh.
Yeah, I got that look going on.
Yeah.
The Pacific Northwest. Amanda, I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed.
Well, Mace, also, like Greg said earlier, it's almost as if you're trying too hard because that's not really you.
It is me.
No,
is
this the shirt has a collar. How is that
you? Yeah, exactly. Mason.
What you guys don't remember is that before the pandemic.
When you went through your try-hard phase?
I went through a very try-hard phase leading into the pandemic, and I bought all new clothes, and I was going, I was dressing up every day. I wasn't wearing hoodies and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was trying to fix my image and my wardrobe a little bit, and so this is just a continuation of that. That's when that photo was taken.
That was your midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you guys hate this photo that much.
Well, here's the thing. You, like, when, honest answer, excluding Lindsay Theory's wedding.
Yes.
When is the last time you wore a shirt with a collar?
Well, we're in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic.
I haven't been anywhere. I wear a hoodie all the time. I mean, I live
You've
in my house.
You've been to Ram games? You've been to...
Oh, you know what? I wore my Rams sports shirt. Yeah, with a collar.
So you could wear that.
I can't wear a Rams thing on the
Lakers.
Well,
you wear a Laker.
Board.
I can give you a Laker shirt.
What's a Rams sport shirt?
It's a golf short, okay. Shirt with was the D head logo on it?
Yes, I love that logo. And by the way, you always said, "Oh, that logo's going away." It's not.
I was wrong.
Rid of that logo. It's not.
Yeah, they're occasionally they'll slap it right on midfield.
Yeah, they are all in on that logo.
Here's Jordan. Says, Mace looks like he's heading to Colorado for a cannabis convention.
Well, why is that wrong? Isn't that sort of my brand?
That is true. Well, if that's what you're going for, you hit it. You hit your mark.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Hey, Boss Amanda, how you feeling about the Dodgers tonight, huh? Did you leave?
Yeah.
No, I'm back. I'm back.
How you feeling about the Dodgers tonight?
I hope they lose.
Why?
Wait, what?
You guys do realize I'm an Angels fan, and you can say all you want about them. That's fine. I cling to 2002.
Wow. I didn't realize you were
but
such
Amanda,
an Angels fan.
Amanda, let me tell you why you should change your position on this.
Okay.
We're running the Dodger playoff games.
We
get good ratings when they're aired. So
we're
going to get a big number.
Yeah, still. Go Lakers. It's Lakers season.
Well, it is Lakers season.
Did you guys hear the bad news about the Lakers today?
Yeah,
I'm
saw that. Go ahead.
About this. Talen Horton-Tucker, torn ligaments in his thumb, out. I don't know how long. But I was really high on Talen Horton-Tucker. Still am.
Yeah,
like, you know, they're gonna be without THT for at least the start of the season.
That's too bad.
Yeah, he's having surgery.
Yeah. By the way, the Lakers, what are we doing? I mean, we haven't even played those three guys together. It's almost unwatchable.
I think that the three guys are going to play together, if not both of these last two preseason games, at least one of them. Either tomorrow night or Thursday, you're going to get them all three.
Got it.
So I'm not worried. You can't judge this team until we see those three guys
cares?
On the court together.
Who cares about the preseason? I don't watch preseason anything. I don't watch preseason Rams. I don't watch preseason baseball. I don't watch preseason
What's interesting,
Lakers.
Though, is, okay, so in football, Sean McVay just comes out on the very first day of camp and goes, none of the starters are playing in the
Correct.
Preseason. Zero.
Yes.
But when the Lakers don't play starters in the preseason, people freak out a little bit. What's the difference?
Are people freaking out?
Yeah. Like, people are all like, hey, why? What? Play those guys. I'm not so sure it's worth playing them. But
yeah, who cares? It's not worth it.
Yeah, we'll
keep
see.
The mileage down on everybody.
I don't even know what this means. Mace looks like every rich Democrat in Seattle.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Is there a certain look that goes with being a Democrat in Seattle?
I do not look like a Democrat. That is the weirdest thing. That's the
weirdest
comment.
I'm trying to connect those dots.
That is so weird. All right. Well, I put it out there as a poll. We'll find out. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball. Don't forget, hey, this is huge. If you've been listening to the show, we are giving away, it is Million Dollar Monday, and if you win it, you get a pair of tickets to in a suite at Rams Lions and a pair of tickets in a suite for the Lakers opener against the Warriors. There will be three questions about all the stuff we have said today. If you can answer them at 3:30, you can win that gigantic prize, which includes taking a shot at $1 million. Jump Ball is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thank you very much, Chris. Really appreciate it. All right, we're going to start here. It's a little bit sad, but also, you know, makes me happy. Jock Peterson has been on fire for the Braves.
Him and Kike.
He has pinched hit three times in three games, and he's 3-for-3 with two home runs, including a three-run home run today to take a 2-1 series lead. And they won 3-0, by the way. Kike Hernandez is 8-for-his-last-12 with two home runs. So first, really happy for them, but also, what do you think of their playoff performance, and are you sad that they're no longer Dodgers?
I am. Kike especially, because he could play so many positions. I guess, Mace, you could make the argument that Chris Taylor does the same thing.
Yeah.
And so you didn't need two of them, but and maybe you, for that reason, you
don't. Well, Chris Taylor's still cheap, and Kike signed a free agent contract.
Right. So I guess I understand why they did it, but I hated to see Kike go because of his versatility.
Jocktober is a real thing. He was great for us in the postseason. He's great for them in the postseason. And there's something to be said for postseason experience in a winning environment. Jock and Kike are both products of the Dodgers organization, and I think that's one of the reasons why they've been successful. They've been to two World Series. They won three World Series. They've been to one of them, won one of them. I think a lot of experience makes a difference when you get to the postseason and the leverage situations get high.
All right, so Adele did an Instagram Live the other day, and someone asked her what her body count was, and she had no clue what it was. First of all, do you know what body count is?
Either I think so.
What do you think it is, John?
How many people you've slept with.
That is absolutely right. That's exactly what your body count is. So, first of all, is it funny that she didn't know what it was, or was it appropriate that someone even asked her?
I have no problem that someone asked her. There was once a movie called What's Your Number?
Yeah.
That was basically about
awful.
This. I did. Yeah, it wasn't very. It was Anna Faris. It wasn't very good. I don't think less of her that she didn't know what it was. I'm older than she is. So
wait a minute. I think it's a completely inappropriate question to ask anybody, don't you think, in a public interview situation to ask how many people they've slept with? That's an offensive question.
Why is it offensive?
Because you're asking about somebody's personal sexual behavior.
Right.
In a public setting.
Why is that by nature? Like, if you asked me that question, I would just say I have no idea.
You don't have any idea?
I don't.
Is it a high number, low number?
No, compared to you, it's low.
Yeah, what's your body count? Is that a fair question to ask you?
I mean, the best joke. The best joke.
I'll take the over.
Yeah,
I'll take the over.
Yeah, the best joke ever. You got to tell it because I'll screw it up. Is your how do you tell the?
Oh yeah, that joke.
What do the lesbians do? Yeah,
what do lesbians do on a first date? They get a U-Haul. Their second date, what do? They get a U-Haul. What do gay guys do on a second date? What second date?
I love that. But, I have. By the way, can I say this about Adele? She looks
amazing. Looks amazing. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, apparently she went through, like, some, like, she went to a trainer and did whatever she's doing. I mean, she just looks stunning. I mean, like, every time I see a picture of Adele, I just stop and
stare. Have you seen they're getting ready to release her album, which is going to be called 30, and they've projected the number 30 on places like the Eiffel Tower and the Empire State Building and the canals in Venice. They've just randomly put the number up 30 all over the world to get ready for her album, which is going to be called 30, even though she's 33. I assume she is just going to savage her ex-husband.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Well, the last I heard, she was dating Rich Paul.
Yeah, no, I had think a clutch that's still
so
a thing.
My guess is that I'm going to start seeing her at Laker games.
Yeah, Rich Paul better be Rich careful comes because there will be albums afterwards.
Rich comes to a ton of Laker games.
He's going to be on 35.
No, he may what? Unless he's still going. Maybe he'll still be going.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right, so this weekend, the Bermuda Triangle was trending. Do you guys believe that stuff really disappears there, like planes and boats, or is that just a big old myth?
Do we believe it? Yeah. Of course I believe it. It's like all you got to do is look it up.
But is it true? Like you really believe it?
Wait a minute. Jorge.
I don't know. Like, I don't think so, man.
Google it. Of course it's true. The Bermuda Triangle isn't fake. It's not like a Stephen King novel.
But I don't know. I don't know.
No.
Well, wait a minute.
There's been whole planes that have disappeared in that
thing. I think
thing.
It's totally exaggerated. I just think it's an apocryphal story, and when stuff goes wrong all over the world, planes disappear, all that stuff all over the world.
Wait a minute. Where else in the world have multiple planes disappeared other than the Bermuda Triangle?
I would need to look at the history and the details of these mysterious planes disappearing. I do not believe in the Bermuda Triangle.
Especially with technology nowadays, I don't know, man.
And explain apocryphal.
Apocryphal means it's a story that has been told for a long time that's not real.
Okay. I don't know what that big word is.
Many of John's stories are apocryphal.
That's true. Well, you know what? I just Googled it just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Bermuda Triangle is a loosely defined region in the western part of the North Atlantic where a number of aircraft and ships are said to have disappeared under mysterious circumstances. But Mace, here's the part you'll like. Most reputable sources dismiss the idea that there is any mystery.
See?
There you go.
That was a pretty fast Google there, John.
Hey, Jorge, why is it trending? Did something happen?
I don't know. I didn't want to bother and look into it because it's not. I don't believe it. You know, it's just one of those things.
Just a jumping off
it was
point.
Trending, but it was trending, and I was like, I wonder why. I wonder if you guys believe it. But I guess
you know what we got to ask about this. Michael and I are both out on Wednesday because we're flying to Sacramento.
Yes.
But when Michael comes back, you know that's where the Bahamas is in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh yeah.
So we'll ask him if it's real.
He's lucky his raft didn't disappear on his way to the States.
Oh, boy. All right, so the Chargers and Browns game was crazy yesterday. You guys talked about it a little
bit. He's the one that always says he came here on a raft.
He does say a lot of things, but we're on to the next question. Okay. So with about a minute and 30 left in the game, Austin Eckler slid down at the one-yard line to not go into the end zone.
This was so weird, these two plays.
Yeah, so down at the one for a first down. On the next play, he tried not to go into the end zone, but the Browns, specifically former Ram John Johnson III, pulled him into the end zone to give them more time to drive for the W. Do you like this move, A, by the Browns? And it's actually just one question. Do you like this move by the Browns as it's not done often, John?
It was brilliant. Yep. I mean, absolutely brilliant. I never because you knew Eckler on the previous play, Greg, that you're talking about. Eckler was on his way into the end zone, and he just basically took a knee.
Yep.
And I have him in fantasy, so I was a little mad at him.
Sure.
But it was a brilliant play by Eckler because the only thing that could screw the Chargers was if the Browns got the ball back with time on the clock. So when they gave it to him again, he was actually trying to take a knee again, and like four different Browns picked him up and carried him. It was almost like you ever see like a group of bodyguards when they're carrying somebody out of an event.
Right.
Like they're trying to take Elvis out of the building, and they basically just form a wall around him and push him out the door. That's what the Browns did to Eckler, and they got the ball back and had a chance to win it. Mace, I thought it was brilliant.
I think it's incredible. I saw Todd Gurley do it twice. What you're trying to do there is to burn clock and not give the ball back to the other guy. It was funny when they carried him in. And by the way, if you are a fantasy owner and you had Austin Eckler on your team, you were devastated when he didn't go into the end zone in the first place. You ended up getting your points because they lifted the guy and put him in. But I'm sure there was a moment where fantasy owners were like, are you kidding me?
I have him, and I may not win anyway tonight. The other guy's got, like, Lamar Jackson and three other people, and I'm done. But I'm up by, like, 30. But without Eckler, I wouldn't have had a chance. He was a one-man wrecking crew yesterday.
Hey, John, why didn't they just take a knee, the Chargers?
It's a great question. And now I think, Greg, they will. I think teams now will take a knee.
I mean, that would have just had the clock running. Browns had no timeouts.
Right. And so that's the play. What's called victory formation
is
when you just hike the ball and take a knee. I think more teams will do that now.
Yeah, it would have made more sense.
All right, before I go to the next one, Pete Fox texted me. You remember Pete Fox?
Hey, I know Pete Fox. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he says, Mace, he says you look like you're ready for some skeet shooting with the cast of Succession.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I would love to go skeet shooting with the cast of Succession.
All right, so there's a new Chucky movie coming out soon, and the doll was asked about how he would kill some of the other famous serial killers.
Yep.
So here's a couple, and you tell me what you think of these methods for each. So for Michael Myers, he said, I'd just outstock him. Dude is slow. Plus, my butcher knife is bigger.
Michael Myers, you can't kill, right? Every time you kill him,
really.
He just rises up
again. Yeah, you can't kill the boogeyman. Jamie Lee Curtis has said that so many times.
In a fight between Chucky and Michael Myers, I'm betting Michael Myers every time.
Yeah, what's Chucky going to do? Stab him in the knee? I mean, Chucky is a little tiny doll.
Michael Myers every time. That's why there have been like 15 Halloween movies.
There's one coming out right now, by the way, with Jamie Lee Curtis again.
Yep.
Every time you kill him, he comes back. Chucky, you got no chance to wipe out.
Yeah, sorry. You're a doll, kid.
It was like John Gruden trying to stop the Bears yesterday. You got no chance. No matter what you try, it doesn't work.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. All right, so for Freddy Krueger, he said, he's a pretty chill dude. We hang out in my nightmares. Anyway, Freddy tells the lamest jokes you've ever heard. For that alone, he deserves to die. So I just give him a taste of his own medicine. I'd pun him to death. Hey, Freddy, here's my definition of slash fiction. Or, you're a real dream come Gru. See? Painful, isn't it?
he puns him to death.
I work with the person who uses more puns than anyone ever alive, and I have
He's the punniest guy in the world.
I have to admit, Michael, I laugh at all of his dumb puns, so I don't think it would work. I don't think you could pun Freddy Krueger to death, because the puns, even though Michael does them every game, I still like them. They're still funny.
Although, do dolls sleep is the question. Like, does Chucky ever sleep? Because that's the only way Freddy Krueger can get to him.
They said they hang out in their dreams.
Same thing. Stab him in the knee. That's all he's got.
I mean, all right. So here's Hannibal Lecter, and I got to be a little bit careful with this one.
Okay.
He says, I wouldn't eat his liver. Liver's disgusting. And fava beans make me fart. Hannibal...
make everybody.
Yeah. Hannibal's brain is the last thing I'd eat. Everyone knows that... can give you mad cow disease. That's why Leatherface is so effed up. Maybe I'd turn Hannibal into chili dogs and eat him with fries and a Coke. The guy's such a blanking snob, he'd die of embarrassment. What do you think?
Well, here's what I think. I think Hannibal Lecter is no match for any of these other horror stars because Hannibal Lecter is a human.
He's a person.
Yeah. I mean, he's going down first.
He has no superpowers at all.
Exactly. So Hannibal Lecter is the weakest link in the chain. Mace, don't you think he's the first one to go?
Yeah, I think he's done. I think Chucky gets him. I eat some, how's the line go? I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah, he's out early.
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
All right,
is that
that's it?
It?
Yep, that'll do it.
Okay. Coming up next, it is game three tonight, Dodgers versus Giants. It is Max Scherzer on the mound versus Alex Wood, who was on the mound in game six last year for the Dodgers, pitched two perfect innings in the closeout game down in Dallas as the Dodgers won the World Series. So we'll see Alex Wood tonight.
This is Alex Wood's first year in San Francisco?
First year in San Francisco, yeah.
Did he leave? Wait, so the Dodgers got him.
Yep.
Didn't he leave and come back to the Dodgers?
That's
or did
a
he
good
have one
question.
Continuous
yeah,
stint?
He got traded to Cincinnati with Yasiel Puig and all those
and
guys.
Kyle Farmer and then
came back later on.
Okay.
Yeah, and ended up coming back. Well, we will see him tonight, which I think just the fact that he's pitched at Dodger Stadium, maybe the fact that he knows these hitters well because he's been teammates with them as recently as last year, that may give the Giants a little edge. How are you feeling about this game tonight? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Also, I've got the results of a poll, John, pretty big poll, about whether or not John Gruden should be punished for what he said in that 2011 email.
Good.
About DeMaurice Smith. So we'll get that coming up for you too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.